Dat is steeds.
Best way to start the day.
Start today the Turaway, Northwest London, Wednesday, Rosh Chodesh, Adar, 1st of Adar Rishon, 2nd of February, Rabbi Yeshua Biton, Shlita, Heta Mechira. This week's Turaway has been sponsored by the family of Benji Steinbach, Leila Nishmas, Rabbi Yoman Akiva Ben Shlomi Zichron Lebrocha, a much missed friend and participant of Turaway, whose yahrzeit was on Yud Tes Shabbat.
Good morning, Chayesh. So I thought what we could discuss today is something that is quite well known. However, and it was a little bit controversial. Still, till this day, is a little bit controversial. It's a topic that has many elements to it. So obviously, we're not going to go into each sugya. Each sugya is an hour shiur for itself. We have a few minutes, but perhaps we'll try and highlight some of the issues, or at least maybe the basic issue. That is involved in this halachic question that came up in the early aliyah, so to speak, when the Talmid Agra, the first yeshuv in 1881, was the first shmita where this question sort of came into play: is what to do in a country that is Eretz Yisrael mechuyev, seemingly with shmita, and you have new farmers. The first time where we have since the Churban. Yidden who are involved in agriculture and farming of the land, and there was malaria, and there was, as we can imagine, even today, keeping Shmita is quite a challenge. You can imagine when you're a pioneer trying to start up business, and you're told, you know, imagine if Jeff Bezos is told in the beginning, for 1 year he can't sell any products. Now, Jeff himself might survive, but Amazon as a whole will go down as the competitors will swoop in. However, being that the halachas doesn't wait for anyone, Rav Shmuel Salanta at the time, in Eretz Yisrael, he told the farmers, who were mainly, at least the front farmers that came to ask him, that you've got to keep Shmita in all of its glory, despite the hardships, because the Torah doesn't bend for anyone. And so it was. And then they kept it was very extremely difficult, and the shadow re-arose in the Shmita after that, which was 1889, and this time there was a new player involved, because there was a big shareholder involved in the second yeshuv there in the new farms that were coming along, and they were a lot bigger and a lot more than the farms in 1881. And this was Baron Rothschild, who made heavy investments in the land of Israel, millions and millions of pounds then, which some of my students did the maths yesterday. It was about £250 million today, investments in the land of Israel. Despite all his critics from his friends, his business partners, they thought he was crazy, they thought he was getting swept away, losing his business sense, his heart and desire to settle the land of Israel. And he was quite keen in ensuring, A, that this business venture went well, B, that his friends didn't laugh at him, and C, that the land of Israel prospered, because he obviously was a Zionist. And he came to the Rabbanim of the time, Rav Shmuel Salanta, he said, no, what are we going to do? I've got a big investment here. We've got a country that we want people to join. And if you're going to start putting this spanner in the works of agriculture in the land of Eretz Yisrael, it will deter people from making aliyah. It will deter people from coming to the land. It will also impoverish, perhaps even kill, many of the people that were living here. You couldn't just make an order, income, import-export wasn't the same as today. And therefore, if you didn't plant, you didn't eat. And he went and asked them, and they stood fast and said, there isn't. However, he wasn't deterred, and he obviously was a connected individual. And so he asked the chief rabbi of Paris at the time, I think his surname was Khan, I can't remember his first name, who in turn went and asked Rabbi Chaim Spector, went and asked him, in Europe, asked him, what are we going to do about the situation that is developing with the fact that people are coming back to modern Eretz Yisrael, and they have to deal with these kind of questions. And he based it on a tshuva that is found, it's called Shemin Amor, which was in 1750s, 60s, by a Robin Chevron, who wrote a tshuva about someone owning a vineyard and selling it for 2 years. And this was the basis of this concept of Heta Mechira. And he went and he wrote the first Heta Mechira. But he did put a clause in it that the Rabbanim of Yerushalayim had to carry it out, which obviously was a massive clause because they weren't going to make it happen. It's not what they held. But that was what was put in the end. It went through the Sfadim, the Sfadim Rabbanim in Yerushalayim, who did agree with it. And that's really, if we look at the unfortunate reality of today, we see the divide between various sections of the Yidden. In Eretz Yisrael, this was really the beginning of where people went into camps. It was a very hot topic. It was two sides, and this really sowed the beginning of what the Haredim and the secular. Funny enough, there was one major secular character in that day, the Ben Yehuda, who was he was anti Hetzmichud because he wanted to bring from people to Eretz Yisrael. Unfortunately, it wasn't the Shem Shemaim. He thought if we start messing with halacha in this way, then people won't come. But that's just a side point. Okay, so what's the question here? And let's look at least one element of this Hetzmichud, of how it works and how it doesn't work, and see what was up for debate. And hopefully, if we have time, we will go into a very interesting tshuva, or an interesting letter that is written. And there's a question as whether that letter was actually written by its author or not, and if the author retracted the letter. And the author is the Beis Yosef, so it's quite interesting to see how people are debating this letter's authenticity. Okay, so we've got in the pasuk, when it talks about Shemitah, by Dav Hashem, Moshe, Vasinai, Leimoy, Davar, Yisrael, V'mat, Halein, Tisavoy, El Ha'aretz, Asha, Ani, Noisa, Lechem, V'shasa, Aretz, Shabbos, Lashem, Shei, Shonim, Tizra, Saltachov, Tzei, Shonim, Tizmoy, Karmecho, V'osaf, Yis, Tuvosa, U'vashvona, U'vashvona, Hashviyas, Shabbos, Shabbos, Yel Ha'aretz, Shabbos, Lashem, Saltachov, Tizra, V'karmecho, V'tizmoy, and V'hoisa, Shabbos, Aretz, Lechem, L'achro, L'avachol, okay. And then, the Sephardot, L'cho, Sheva, Shabbos, Shonim, Sheva, Shonim, Sheva, Pa'amim, V'hoi, L'cho, Sheva, Shabbos, Shonim, Tei, Sheva, Arba, Shonim. So we have, within the Psukim about Shemitah, we have a few things. Firstly, Kisav El Aretz. People have to be in the land of Eretz Yisrael. Most people have to be dwelling in the land of Eretz Yisrael. Secondly, Sadcha, Karmacha, it has to be yours. And thirdly, we see that the Shemitah is linked intrinsically to the seven cycles of Shemitah, which is Yovel. And no Yovel, seemingly no Shemitah. That's what we're talking. Okay, so that is a derisa, that is a pasuk. And what about today? When we look at today as to whether there is a chiyuv of shmita, the zman hazeh, then we have a machlokes. So, like I said, if it's connected to yovel, yovel is not the zman hazeh. Why is yovel not the zman hazeh? Because we need to be most people dwelling in the land, and maybe even according to some, not only just in Rov Yisrael in Eretz Yisrael, but also in their families, nachlal. And since that is not there, then Shemitah is not there. So that's one reason to say that it Shemitah b'zman hazeh is the rabban. But lemaisa, it is a machlekes in my katan, and it's Rebbe and the rabbanon. And lemaisa, the Rambam paskins l'kula like Rebbe that Shemitah b'zman hazeh is the rabbanon, and most rishonim go with him. There's Rashi, the Rashba, the Ritva, the Ram, the Yad Ramah. However, the Ramban holds it with the Raisa, as does, I think, the Rosh. Just as a side note, there's also a Meiri, who passes, it's not the Raisa, it's not the Rabban, and it's just a Midas Chassidus. Bizman Hazeh, this whole controversy, it's actually a Midas Chassidus for Etzem. There is no Chiyuv Shmita, Bizman Hazeh. Okay, so what's going on with this Hetmechir? We're in Chodesh Adar, and it's my wife was Ma'ira to me, that Pesach's coming. And we know that on Pesach, we do, well, at least it's not so controversial. People sell chametz. It hasn't gone wild, the selling of chametz. And so why is this selling different than all other sellings? Yet manishtana, what's the difference? And the thing is, before we have to look at this question and think, the chachamim, the gemara, the poskim, never shied away from looking for solutions to halachic problems if they didn't fit, or if they were difficult, or if it was hindering other Jewish life. The marshal, we have Prusbel, Shmitas Ksopim, we can get round Heter Iska with rivers, we have various Mechiras Chometz, and all these are mentioned in earlier poskim. And the problem with Shmita was already going on at times of the Gemara, people weren't keeping it Kedusa. So why did no one ever come up with this solution of the Heter Mechira previously? So that's already a basis that it's not so, clearly it wasn't so much, they didn't think of the concept of perhaps selling land in Eretz Yisrael to help you. You know, we've got a Prosbul. That should be the same concept. That how do we make sure that people lend money? How do we make sure that people can live in Eretz Yisrael? How do we make sure that fruit and vegetables could be eaten? We'll just come up with a heter. Yet they didn't. So that's already a problem that has to be addressed. And that's probably the foundation why people leaned against it. Selling land in Eretz Yisrael. Let's say, you wanted to go with the Heter Mechira, you'd have to agree that the selling land in Eretz Yisrael makes a difference to the Shmita, to the Halacha of the Peres of that land. And that is a Machlekes Achronim, and we've got, which is based on the Machlekes of the Gemara of Rabba and Rabbi Lezer, it's in Gittin. Rabba holds Ein Kinyan, Loiv Gechovim Be'Eretz Yisrael Lafkia, Midei Maiser, it's talking about Maiseris. And he says that the fact that you sell land to a guy is not going to help you to take away the Kedusha in order to patter you from Maiser. Okay? And then we have, he brings a Pasuk, Kiliha Aretz. It's nothing to do with the actual owner. It belongs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. If there's a Kedusha on the land, then it makes no difference who the actual owner is. The land itself demands the Kedusha. However, Rav Lezer holds, and since it's the Gan Cha, it's toil on who the owner is. If the owner is a Goy, he doesn't have the Chiv. If he doesn't have the Chiv, his fruit and vegetables are okay. Okay, we pass the Rambam. So what's the Rambam passing? The passing is like Rabba, and this is the language of the Rambam, which is important. He says, Akum Shukana Karka Be'ez Yisrael, Loi Hifgia Min HaMitzvus, Ela Harehi B'Kedushasa. The fact that you sold land to a guy in Eretz Yisrael doesn't exempt this land from the mitzvahs and the halachas of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore it stays with its kedusha. Lefikach, im chaza Yisrael b'alokcha mimeno. If a yid goes, Yisrael goes and repurchases or retrieves the land back from this guy, eino kibush yachid. We don't consider this kibush yachid, which would, by the way, be a lesser, we see with Surya, it's a lesser kind of kedusha that a land would have, any land that was taken as a yachid. Ella, rather, it retains its original kedusha, mafrish, trumas marshus, he has to take trumas marshus. So maybe bikurim, he has to bring bikurim, v'hakol min ha-tera, ke'ilu lo nimkra la'akum ma'olam. The fact that an akum had this property for a certain amount of time is completely irrelevant, and the chiyuv stands. And this is the psak of many Rishayim. Okay, and the Shulchan Aruch seems to say this similar concept. However, the Shittas Rambam is interesting because we looked at the language, and the Rambam says, "Lefikach im chaza Yisrael v'lokcha mimena einoy kibush yachid." Well, what does the Rambam want with that statement? It seems to be on the surface that the Rambam is saying that unlike chometz, where if you sell chometz to a guy erev Pesach, it's not Chometz Yisrael, and we know that Chometz Yisrael is what's Asa. Chometz of a Goy is not Asa. Here, the Rambam seems to say that the land of Eretz Yisrael, regardless of whether it's owned by a Goy or a Yid, is got the Chiyuv. However, there's a machlokes what the Rambam is actually saying. Because the Rambam says, Lefikach im chaza Yisrael v'lach meimena eino kibush yachid. Says the Beis Yosef, well, hold on. What is he saying? He's saying that kol zman, the Yisrael goes and repurchases the land, that's when the chiyuv comes back. But b'shas ownership of a goy, the Rambam is saying, no, then it's taka, not mechuyev. However, there is, in living in Tzvas at the time as well, there's the Mabit, and he says, no, this is not the case. The Rambam was just saying that in Chaza, and Koina Yisrael, the difference would be that when it's within the Goy's Rishus, you have to take Trumas and Maaser, but you don't have to give that Trumas and Maaser to the Koin. After the Yid owns it, you have to give that Trumas and Maaser to the Koin. But he argues on the basis of, he says, when the Rambam says that the Goy doesn't have the Koyach to be Mafkia from the Kedusha Sa'aretz, he is referring both at the time of the Goy's ownership and after as well. Okay. So, which brings us to this machlokes of the Rambam and of the Beis Yosef and the Mabit, and this is where it gets a little bit interesting. In Tzvas, so 500 odd years ago, You have the Mabit and the Beis Yosef. Interestingly, I was learning with a student recently who, Baruch Hashem, he was considering keeping Shabbos, but he didn't have to tell his boss. He was working in a very big company in the city, and his boss called him in and said, "I've noticed you've been taking days off at a certain intervals within the year, and they correspond with Jewish festivals. I'm assuming you're a Jew." And he said, "Yes, I am." And he thought, "Okay, this boy was from France, and the French are not comfortable at all with asking their bosses for Shabbos. I mean, this he wasn't the most practicing." And the boss turns around to him and says, "Well, I think it's very important that you, as a Jew, you keep the Sabbath. I know a bit about the Sabbath. This guy was a goy from Oxford. Mm-hmm. And therefore, take the days off and whatever, make up the work whenever you can." And Baruch Shem, he's a direct descendant of the Mabit. And the Mabit was there with the Beis Yosef. And the Mabit and the Beis Yosef were discussing a side point, but it was based on the fact that when the Kedushas HaOretz is sticks in the land once you sell it to a god. What was the question? The question was, Shmita makes your land hefker. If there's Shmita, there's no Trumas HaMaisa. And therefore, if you eat Peres, because you can go into a field and pick an orange in the seventh year, and there would be no Trumas HaMaisa. So what happens to a Goshen, non-Jewish field, in Eretz Yisrael at the time, which was Halacha HaMaisa, they were living there in Tzfas? What happens? Do you have to take Trumas HaMaisa from that crop, from that field? Beis Yosef, who held that Yeshkayach to take out, and therefore Yeshkayach, there's no Shmita, there's Trumas HaMaisa. The Mabit, on the other hand, argued and said no, that since a Goy cannot take the Kedusha out of the land, and therefore it's just like any other regular Shmita, it's a Tefka, and therefore there's no Truma and there's no Maisa. We have to point out here that the Beis Yosef must hold, or seemingly hold. There's two reasons here as to why the Kedushas HaOretz, this man hazeh, is not, is mafkei. There's two things he has to hold on to. Firstly, it's the Rabbanan today. So that's already, according to the Beis Yosef, at least the passage of the Rabbanan, and therefore if it's the Rabbanan, then there is more room to say, even according to the Gemara that says, there's no kayach for a goy, but perhaps, like we see with Surya, which was Kivush Yochid, it's a lower grade of Kedusha. Perhaps Shmita Darabonon Bizman Azeh would fall into that category, which the Rambam says there, Lekola Alma, a Goy's ownership will take it away. And secondly, we have here we'll leave it there. So this was a Machlokes that was brought in by these two Rishonim, and they and they argued with each other a lot about this. And interestingly enough, there's a little bit of a back and forth that went on. It was 28 years that Mabit dealt with this question, he says, and he goes back and forth as to how with the Beis Yosef. Okay, here. So, if we look, there's a, the Beis Yosef is in a tshuva. He brings down the Mabit, Sha'asak B'sugizeh, 28 years, and the Mabit asks questions on the Beis Yosef, and the Beis Yosef tries and answers the questions. And then, in the next siman, he says, he brings there's a small letter that's brought. And this is the actual writing of the letter. Omer Yosef Kari. Acha shekosav hachocham harav Moshe Mitrani igeres zois hashemis. After Moshe Mitrani has brought down this letter, Rotsa lasis maisa kedvarov b'shmita shavra. He wants to implement the halacha like his words in the past shmita. U'micha b'yoda nevamecha u'b'shmita zu. And now it's Shin Lamadalet, they're trying to implement. He's trying to implement his halacha again, his psak again. Ikshos ruchoi ve'emitzus levavoi. He's being strong on his opinion. Itzkaya atzmei lasis ma'isa kedvarov biyad ramah, with a strong fist. They looked into what he had to say, his original words and his current answers. And they got up in shul. They made the mamish a cherem. Shekulam yafrishu trumois umaisrois miperus hagoy. That everyone has to take truma and maisa from the peris of a goy, meaning that the goy has during Shemitah, meaning that the goy has the ability to be mafke the truma and Shemitah, and therefore truma maisa still stands. Why? Obviously, the truma maisa has to be finalized within Yisrael's hand. B'shviz k'moy b'shashanim, and he signs off. Name Sarah Yosef Kara. By the way, just to put it on the record, my bit hold that today, like the Ramban, Shmita is Deoraisa, and therefore that could implement the could impact why he holds that it wouldn't work today. Okay, and then this is interesting. The Talmud of the Beis Yosef writes a footnote onto this letter that he's made, that this letter is written. Clearly, this was a problem even back then. There's a lot of signatures going around, and no one knows if it was real or not real. And he wrote, he's made Shemichtav Zeh is Ksav Yad of Beis Yosef, the Ksivas Yodei Mamush, and everything that was written is from him. Okay. Now comes a little bit of controversy, because the Sefer Charedim, who wrote this Shuba two Shmitas after the Beis Yosef passes away, so 14 years later, he says, Kosav Shemaran Beis Yosef Chozo Bei Besoif Yomav. That in the end of the Beis Yosef's times, he was choizer from this psak, which is interesting, because it was clearly a back and forth, and cherem and nida. This was quite a big issue for him to retract. Is quite a big deal. But the Sefer Charedim says this is what happened, and he says that Beis Yosef actually agreed to the mapit, that there's kedusha svius on the peres of the guy, and he proves it. He says, because if you look at the Shulchan Aruch, it says spam. It doesn't mention anything about a goy. It goes shnasa shmita ein boy loitrum es v'loy mashus v'loy chilek ben peres and nachri peres and Yisrael. There's no difference between peres and Yisrael and peres and nachri. As far as the Shulchan Aruch, he writes a blanket statement that in the shmita ein boy loitrum v'loy mashus. And if he was so adamant about his addition that if it belongs to a goy, then there would be, he would have written. He didn't write it. So we have an interesting situation where it seems that the halacha was changed. However, we have on that a sefer called the Pasa Shulchan. And the Pasa Shulchan was much later, was Rabbi Yisrael Meshachlov. He was one of the Talmidei HaGra, so he came to Eretz Yisrael in that period, 1800s. And he says that actually, no, this is an authentic letter. He says, the minig is kesvar rishona, like the Beis Yosef said, that the selling of land does take away the kedusha, and therefore trumas and maisros apply. Shein kedusha is peres nachrim, and I, the Beis Yosef, he goes, no, the ikka is this tshuva, which is, by the way, the Beis Yosef in Avkas Rachel, which is Shalosh Tshuvas, and he continue to be Mekayim, the cherem that anyone who takes trumas and maisros will have. And that is the Sefer Pasa Shulchan, which goes against the Sefer Acharei. So that is the controversy. Comes along the Chazanish, and the Chazanish, which is much later, and by then is Rav Kook's involved in the Hetzer Mechira, and it's going backwards and forwards, and the Chazanish was strongly against it for numerous reasons. One, that he held, even if you hold Shmita is the Rabbanon, the Maisa, the Rabbanon said that Shmita should be kept in all its halachas, just like as if it was a Doraisa. And the fact that now it's a Shmita Darabonon will not make it like a Kibush Yachid, and it doesn't make any difference to halacha, and therefore it he holds like the Mabit. And he says, we've got this Pasa Shulchan. He says, the Baal HaRedin, Lemaisa, wrote his words 14 years after the Beis Yosef was around. So he would have known what was going on. No, if he would have walked in one day, 14 years after the Beis Yosef of the Passover, and said, no, the Beis Yosef was Chozer, and the Beis Yosef hadn't been Chozer, then someone would have told him. So he was close enough in time and geographically to know what the Beis Yosef actually did. And although the Pasuk Shulchan says that the Maisa, this rumor about the Beis Yosef being Chozer was a shmur that was said whilst the Beis Yosef was ill, he says it's not unlikely that the Sefer Charedim will make such a mistake because he was close in time. And he says that if there was a Cherem, then the Cherem would have been known to the Baal HaCharedim, and therefore it makes more sense that the letter that was written, he writes, Ein lismach hazeh. Don't be soimich on that letter. Lefisha sefer zeh nitfas la'achashonim rabbis. And this letter was written in this sefer that was printed much later after the death of the Beis Yosef. Ulai eino miksivas haBeis Yosef. Maybe it's not even from the writings of the Beis Yosef. Oishuhu mishan mikom Beis Yosef niflatos b'tzin hashana. And maybe the years were wrong, and therefore actually this was written a lot prior to the Beis Yosef Shulchan Aruch. And the Shulchan Aruch clearly doesn't seem to make a differentiation, and therefore, who says we don't go with Shulchan Aruch over this? It's funny because when in the letter itself you have one of the Beis Yosef Talmidim writing very clearly that this is the Ksav Yad, of making sure that this letter is not a forgery, and yet the Chazon Ish Lemaaseh passed that we don't go with the Halach. And he says a simple thing. The Baal HaCharedim was before this Pasa Shulchan, and therefore he had established the Minag and the Halacha in town, and why are you coming to break what was done? And therefore he holds that, like the Chazon Ish. And obviously, the fact as to whether this sale works or not is a machlokes that's going on till this day. And that is the foundation of how a Heter Mechira can or can't work. But obviously there is another one big element, there's many elements, there's another one big element that we're just going to put out there, and then you think about is the Issa of Lois Chanin, that you cannot, from Chanaya, which means park, you cannot let a goy, Gemara Avodah Zarah, that you cannot let a goy buy land or establish himself, park himself, get a foothold in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, how are you going to sell land in Eretz Yisrael when there's an Issa Daraisa to do so? That is the big problem that you have to deal with. And now, you would think that making Shemitah Darabonon helps you with the case of Heter Mechira, but ultimately in this instance, it makes it a very big problem because I think the Lashon used is you're Barech from the Zev, you're Barech from the, and you end up with the Ari. It's like the English translation is you're going from the pot to the fire. What are you doing? You're trying to get rid of it, you're trying to solve a problem of a Darabonon. How'd you do that? By getting involved in an Issa Daraisa of what? Of selling to a goy. So that was another big problem the Chazon Ish dealt with, and then the Chazon Ish dealt with another problem that lo yitzuya, that the Mechira, for somehow you can get around this problem. Perhaps a few ways to get around this problem is Chanin doesn't is because we want Eden to come to Eretz Yisrael. If this is helping Eden come to Eretz Yisrael because it's allowing them to deal with Shmita and therefore people will come, then maybe secondly, Leis Chanin is only maybe for Ovid Kechovim but not Stamagoy. Maybe Leis Chanin is only just forever but not for a short term sale, which was going on over here. Those are, secondly, it says the Chazon Ish, who says the sale b'chlal works? It's a bit of a mockery, this whole thing, because there's no proper gemara stas to want these fields. It's a bishlem chometz, you know, chometz is a few bowls of Cheerios we can deal with, but a land in Eretz Yisrael where there's an issa d'oraisa to sell it, it's a bit. Also, he says dina d'malchusa, everything has to go in a registry, and then it's going to be lies, it's going to be written. It's not so posh with land that you just sell here and there, and therefore Dina the Machusa Dina is also going to be a problem. And these are issues that they had to get around and resolve, and is all part of the big picture as whether you can sell or whether you can come up with a heter that will let you get around the problem or the mitzvah of Shmita.
Very clear. Thank you.